Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Good morning, sports fans. Welcome in, everybody, to a morning edition here of Football 24-7. For those looking for Birds 365, we will be live tonight from 6 to 8 p.m., another nightcap edition of Birds 365 coming to you tonight with John McMullen, who will be down there for practice number 16 and the final practice open to the media. So this will be our last day of doing the training camp recaps. This will be our last day of having John live and in person, at least for the training camp period. They're going to change it up, and they kind of kick out the media after 30 minutes now moving on. So we won't have as many full practice updates like we have been right now. Tonight we will do a Birds 365, as I mentioned. So for those looking for that, that will be tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. I will be joined by John McMullen on this segment here in a little bit, maybe 5 to 6 minutes, briefly, depending on when he joins from the car. So looking forward to talking to him to preview the practice today. But practice number 16, everybody, we are here at the end now of training camp, just about. It's not the end, but it's the end in a way, because we lose, like I said, the reporter access. So they have still more work to do. They will be ramping up things. I speculate they will really unload now that the reporters will not be there. I think Vic Fangio will get his starting guys on the field. I think he'll figure out his rotation and he'll go from there. So, but we made it, everybody. August 21, we're 16 days away from the Philadelphia Eagles opener in Sao Paulo, Brazil, by the way, which I do not like starting our season in Brazil. Not ideal for the Eagles, but 16 days away from it. So we are officially just over 2 weeks, man. It's right around the corner. It's been a tremendous offseason for this team. It's been a tremendous training camp for this team. Jalen Hurts has been lighting camp up all offseason long. If he concludes today with no interceptions, that will be zero interceptions for Jalen Hurts through the 16 practices, which, again, some people don't like the stats. I think the stats matter in this case because, you know, we have a quarterback that is surrounded by a lot of talent. And statistically, Jalen Hurts was no worse last year than he was in 2022, other than turning the football over. So now you have a quarterback that looks like he's figured out the problem and how to take care of the football. Not that he ever had a problem, but it was last year. He's been typically has been very good at it. But now you have a quarterback that is focused on protecting the ball. That will keep things flowing on the offense. You know, we don't need a Superman QB. We don't need him to be Patrick Mahomes. We have great playmakers around him. So to take care of that football is crucial. And Hurts would, I guess you could say, make history if he does that today and completes training camp without an interception. So that would be good stuff from Jalen Hurts. So we will monitor that closely. For those following along in the Football 24-7s, I will be live again about 12:30 this afternoon. So we will recap the practice there. And as I mentioned, Johnny Mack will join me here on the preview, and then we'll recap the full thing tonight on Birds 365. I want to welcome everybody in this morning. Eduardo, what's up, Eduardo? Cheese is in here. Chan, my man Chan, what's up, Chan? How you doing, brother? Big D's in here. Cody K, Crowley, Twiz the Jig is in here. And anybody I missed, sorry I missed you, but I appreciate you being here. Good stuff. As always, today I'll be interested to see what Vic kind of does, on the way out the door. What will the linebacker situation be? I don't anticipate him changing much at this point. Like I said, I think he's going to wait for the reporters to get out of the room before he really puts on, who he thinks is going to be his guys. So I'm, you know, I'll be watching that though. Yesterday it was Devin White and Zach Bond again, and then Nakobe and Trotter mixed in. Warren Burks even mixed in, who's back from the injury. So that's good. The cornerbacks on Tuesday were Slay and Quinyon Mitchell on the outside. So I think that's a good thing. You know, and then Isaiah Rogers came back in, by the way, for Quinyon when they put Quinyon to the inside. So Keely Ringo also got some first team reps. So that position still seems to be fluent as well. My projection would be Slay and Quinyon on the outsides with Avante Maddox at the slot corner. I think they're going to put him at slot corner to start the year. I might be completely wrong. They might go Cooper DeJean, but Cooper DeJean did not have a good day yesterday. He struggled yesterday. So hopefully he can kind of get his feet going. Remember, he did miss those couple weeks with the hamstring. So kind of still getting back up to speed for Cooper DeJean. I think he has a better practice today, but I will be looking for the reports from John and Jeff Kerr and all the guys down there today. So it looks like I have Johnny Mack now. Let me bring John McMullen in, and we will get a preview here on the day. Johnny Mack, do I have you, man?
Yeah, you got me.
I got you, man. Sound good. Look good. Get down there safely today. John, last practice, man, at least open to the media like we're used to having all offseason long so far. What's the expectation here going into the final practice?
Yeah, they just want to finish strong, I think. It's been a solid summer overall for the team. You know, health is always the most important. And I think you've had some nicks and bruises here and there, but nothing terribly significant with certainly the key contributors. So that's always number one. You know, nothing stops today other than what you just mentioned. Reporters can't watch the entirety of practice. So it's, you know, the preparation continues, and I would argue it ramps up without right. prying eyes. So I wouldn't make this a big thing from that standpoint. It's only a big thing because people are very interested in this team. And when reporters can watch the whole practice, there's a lot more substantive updates instead of speculation. So people get excited about that. But, you know, the preparation, if anything, ramps up after today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I said that coming in. I you know, as you pointed out too, probably they'll know who their starters are. You know, they're just going to wait until behind closed doors so they can't let the reporters get it out there. There actually might be some skullduggery going on, John, right now with him keep putting Zach Bond out there, you know, and then the minute you guys walk off the field, it's like, okay, Zach, you're back to the second team. I wonder if Vic is playing any of those games.
Yeah, he might be. You know, he could be looking at a rotation at linebacker. I asked him that last week, and he said he'd prefer to, but that doesn't mean he's not open to it. If he doesn't feel there's enough distance between Devin White and Zach Bond, you know, for whatever reason, they have some questions. To me, the dichotomy of last year and this year is so interesting with Nakobe Dean because of
might have lost
playing like that, and they're still trying to hold them off. So it's an interesting contrast, to say the least.
Yeah, lost you for a couple seconds there, John, but got you back. I want to ask about Cooper DeJean, John. You know, we haven't seen much of him in camp, obviously, because of the hamstring injury that sidelined him for a few weeks. He struggled yesterday in practice. You expecting anything from him? I was hoping to see a flash, maybe to insinuate he might be that starting slot corner on opening day, but I'm not sure he's going to have that in him. What do you expect to see from him today?
You're talking about Cooper. I lost you for a second.
Yeah, Cooper DeJean, Johnny Mack.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's plenty of time. I think the people that have settled on, well, he can't be the starter week one because he missed those first 3 weeks, essentially from a calendar standpoint. I think that part of it's off base. I'm concerned he didn't play well yesterday at practice. You know, he's not limited. Again, there's plenty of time. There's no doubt that they ultimately want Quinyon Mitchell to be an outside corner. So that's what they're working toward, is to get Cooper DeJean out there as quickly as possible. Whether that's week one or week three or week four, I think ultimately you're going to see it. And then we'll see how it shakes out from there. And, you know, there's going to be some hiccups. I say it all the time with two, even as talented as these guys are, with two rookie corners, there's going to be some moments where you're probably a little bit frustrated. But I from my standpoint, you got to get through it. You got to get them up to speed. And ultimately, probably by the second half of the season, and I look at that Kansas City template and what they did a couple of years ago, that to me is the perfect way to do it. Just bite the bullet and get the startup cost over with. Because whenever you do it, you're going to have that. And that's where you want to go, so why waste time?
Yeah, good stuff. John, if Cooper DeJean doesn't start at that nickel corner, what do you think would be the setup on week one? Would they move Quinyon to the outside and put Avante Maddox in there? Like, who do you think will get that nod?
Well, Quinyon's going to be on the field every play. So, you know, it's Green Bay, so it's very rare you're only going to have two corners on the field. If it comes up 5-6 times in the game, that'll be Quinyon and Darius Slay. And then it'll kick inside when you need a nickel corner, Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay, so you think Quinyon will play that slot before?
If Cooper's not ready, I think. Yeah, gotcha. You know, but he will be the three-down corner. So for that, you know, he will start outside if there's only two corners and move inside when they need three on the field, which is going to be the vast majority of the time against Green Bay. So whether it's Isaiah Rodgers or Kelee Ringo, they're going to get significant snaps against Green Bay. And right now Rodgers is still leading, but Ringo's, I think, closing the gap over the past few days at least. And that I think that's still a competition, but I would say Rodgers probably 75-25 right now is a pretty significant leader.
Yeah, so we'll see what ends up happening there. A lot of cornerbacks on this team, not something we've had in recent years, so we will see what they end up doing there. Johnny Mack, expecting anything different from the linebackers today? I know we already talked about Zach Vaughn a little bit, but you think Vic's going to roll out the same two and keep that rotation flowing today?
No, there's one day left. He's not going to go magically. Here it is, guys.
Yeah.
A little present for us before, you know, we can only watch individual drills and practice. No, he's gonna take it the full 24 hours, and you're going to see the same rotation. Probably Devin White and Zach Bond are going to be the first duo out there, and then it'll be N'Kobe and Devin, and that'll be N'Kobe and Jeremiah Trotter, and then it'll be N'Kobe and Zach Bond. He's trying everything, and he's trying all these different, and he even threw some, now that Oren Burks is back, he even threw some Oren Burks in there yesterday.
Yeah.
And you occasionally even get a little bit of Ben Van Sumeren. So, yeah, it's been that way throughout camp. It's only ramped up. You know, it's supposed to be coming down and being more focused. It's only gotten more unfocused, I would say, over the past week. And that probably speaks to where he's ultimately going. And if I were a betting man and bet it, U.S. has the odds, I would bet on Devin White and N'Kobe Dean against Green Bay.
Johnny Mack, let's talk offensive line. Where are you on that offensive line right now? Any concern going into the year from an injury standpoint?
Just the natural worry about a 34-year-old right tackle who's got a history of getting banged up a little bit, and Mekhi Becton, who's got a history of getting banged up a little bit. So, I mean, nothing dramatic. There's no significant injuries. And Landon Dickerson, I throw in there as well. I think people forget how many health issues Landon had in college. And he's a big guy as well, and you start talking about leg issues and and knee issues with somebody that size. So a little bit. I mean, the more is the depth. You can't replace players like that. We talk about it at wide receiver all the time. But if they lose, even we've seen this team with losing Lane Johnson. It's amazing the difference. And even in practice, when he takes a veteran day, it's amazing the difference. And you could span that out and say Jordan Mailata and Landon Dickerson. But, I mean, that's every team. If you lose star players, it's an issue. So, from that standpoint, no. You control what you control is the old NFL adage, and you can't control that. So, you got one of the best offensive lines in football, and you move forward, and hopefully everybody stays healthy.
John, taking the linebackers out of it, after 15 practices here, 16th coming up today, what's your most concerning position on this football team right now?
Take out the linebackers?
Yep, take out the linebackers.
Probably, you know, the starting lineup is very good. So I don't know if you're counting depth, but it would be the depth of wide receiver. If you're talking just starters, they're pretty good. I guess you'd have to go safety second. But they're pretty good from a starting.
Yeah, I mean, you think about every position. A couple of people say safety in the chat. One guy says edge in the chat. I don't know. I'm not there on edge. I think I'd more lean safety. But, you know, I like John. You've kind of won me over on the Reed Blankenship talk, in that he's a viable player. He's a good, solid player. I think he's underrated in this city. And I think the Eagles like him. So I think he's going to have a good year this year. But, John, on the flip side, what's the one position that you're most confident in that will be no issue for the Eagles this year?
Well, wide receiver.
I was about to say take wide receiver out, but I didn't want to make it.
Wide receiver and then offensive line. You know, but we're only talking about two wide receivers, obviously. So, you know, and Kellen has a history of liking to play 12 personnel and two tight ends a lot. So that might mitigate the third receiver a little bit as well. Offensive line, I mentioned, is very strong. Certainly top five. The defensive front is very strong. You know, a little bit more unproven. You're counting on big step forwards from Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, but they're really gifted players. I think people forget how good Josh Sweat is because of the end of last season when everybody played poorly. And, you know, I don't have many concerns, as many concerns about Bryce Huff as other people do. I think people got hope in their minds with Brandon Graham on two fronts. One, they assume he's declining from just pure production standpoint. His reps are really good, and they've never really faltered. They've gotten smaller, and that's because they understood late in his career they wanted to extend that effectiveness as long as possible. And now he's announced his retirement. This is it. This is his goal, to get to his 15th year. And I think he might play more this year than he has over the past 2 years, especially at the end of games when they're trying to close games. So I think people may need to recalibrate that a little bit. So those, you know, remain. And no, it should be no surprise that the Eagles have talent on the offensive line and defensive front, because that's how they build this thing, is how it would say.
I think that running back position too, John, is actually pretty good. Not even more is like a depth thing. I think Saquon's obviously a good starter. And then I think Kenny Gainwell's looked really good in the summer, at least from what I've seen. I think that's going to be a solid group. And then if you need that third guy, Will Shipley has showed that he can be a factor. So I think that's a pretty good room as well. But, you know, how do you feel about that tight end position, John, after Dallas Goedert? I think there's a pretty big drop-off after him. I mean, I know Calcaterra is solid, but I do worry about the injury history and the concussions there. What do you think about that tight end? That tight end group.
Well, I don't worry about the injury issues with Grant Calcaterra. I worry about the effectiveness issues.
Right.
I
mean, yeah.
You know, he's caught 9 passes in 2 years. The concussion thing was, you know, not from a standpoint of look. That was, you know, people. As he describes it, and I'm going to describe it like he does, much more alarmist at the time. And, you know, he was worried about his long-term future and got some bad advice. And then he went to the top concussion specialist in the country, one of them in Pittsburgh at UPMC that I always talk about. And the doctor said, no, you're fine. You're 100. There's no issues with you. So until that changes, I'm not worried about that part of it, but he's caught 9 passes in 2 years. And yeah, that's one of the biggest surprises of the summer to me. We all thought we were going to have a competition for that tight end 2 spot behind Dallas Goedert. And there was none. I mean, 0 from day one. It was very similar to Reed Blankenship last year at safety when they were going to rotate safeties, and they did, but they rotated.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, you black men out there tried to hide your criminal records and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, askmepeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Safety's next to Reed Blankenship. He took every first-team rep. It was never a competition. It's a second-team player now, so it's not a perfect comparison, but there was never a competition for that backup tight end slot. But I'm with you, Xander. I mean, there's a huge drop off between Dallas Goedert and Grant Calcaterra.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Johnny Mack, let's get into real quick just today. What's the schedule today? Nick Sirianni, you said, is set to speak this morning, right, John?
Yeah, Nick's going to talk before practice. And then after practice, Michael Clay was scheduled to talk today before practice, before they changed the schedule and cut Thursday down to a walkthrough. So he's going to talk after practice. So we're still going to get Michael Clay to talk about kickoffs. One of the referees at practice yesterday was joking around on the sidelines and said, we've done a lot of we've done a lot of stupid stuff in the NFL. This is the most stupid. That was his take on the kickoff rule. So he's not a big fan of it. But and it seems like everybody's doing the same thing. So all the talk about pokiness and people doing different things, they're all doing the same thing. Dual returners, and the one who doesn't get it, the other one is the lead blocker. And, you know, it's probably going to be the most overrated thing in history. The kickoff change.
Who do you think the Eagles will use for that? Those two returners.
It's going to be Kenny Gainwell and Isaiah Rodgers are going to be the first two. And whoever they kick it to becomes the lead blocker.
Right. So I think Kenny Gainwell will be a better lead blocker there, but it doesn't really matter, honestly, at that point. We'll just see how they end up playing. And I think we're going to see a lot of touchbacks. Like regular. So good stuff there. Johnny Mack, anything you're expecting to hear or anything you got on your mind that you want to ask Nick Sirianni about in the press conference today? Anything that you're
you know, anything that needs an answer?
You know, why did he change the schedule? I think it has something to do with, and he'll probably, it has something to do with the communication aspect. They wanted to go over to Lincoln Financial Field, at, you know, last weekend, to practice sort of the coaching aspect, the coaching communication aspect of things. But there was a concert last weekend. I don't know who it was. Some people in the chat might know, but there was, so they couldn't use the stadium. And they tried to replicate it at NovaCare, and they had the coaches up in the balcony and tried to replicate sort of that communication on game day. My guess is they still want to work out the kinks there, and that's why they shipped it. And they'll probably go over to Lincoln Financial Field for one of these walkthroughs to work on that. I think Nick will admit that, but we'll see. But that's number one. I want to see what the change in the schedule is.
Yeah, so we'll see what he says about that. Johnny Mac, good stuff this morning, man. Get down there safely. We'll talk to you tonight on our nighttime edition of Birds 365. All right, man?
All right, thanks, Xander.
All right, thanks, Johnny Mac. There's Johnny Mac joining us on Football 24/7 this morning before the final day of practice open to the media. It's not their final day. They're not done camp, everybody. They're just kind of kicking the reporters out a little bit, you know, so that we'll have less coverage on it at least, which isn't a great thing for us and for the network and for you guys because we don't have as much information to give you. But the team is ramping up now, 16 days away from that opener. I'm going to go to our chat check. I want to hear from you guys and see where your heads are, what you guys are interested in, what's peaking your head up, you know, for at least day 16 here. And then anything on your mind after 15 days of camp. I did see some good comments in here earlier. Madness is in here. What's up, Madness? Abe, what's up, Abe? Crowley, Prince, Chuck Hutton. What's up, Chuck? Stephen McKell's in here. Broad's in here. Appreciate all you guys. Isaiah Fair's in here. Appreciate all you guys being in here. I want to go to this comment. And Broad says, Reed Blankenship is a liability. You know, Broad, I don't know if he is, man. I hear what you're saying. He's not an impact player. He's not a game-changing player. But you're not going to have all pros all over your roster. You're just not. And I think Reed Blankenship is a solid player. I think he's severely underrated on this team. I thought he brought a physicality to the back end of the roster. Or to the back end of the defense last year that nobody else had. Now we did add C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So, you know, he's also playing with a better guy next to him this year. You know, remember, we traded for Kevin Byard last year, and what a nightmare that was. He did nothing for this team. And I was very excited when we traded for him. I thought it was a great move. So now you kind of upgraded who's next to him. You have a physical guy playing next to him. I don't think Reed Blankenship's going to be a liability. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to be an all-pro, but I think he's going to be perfectly fine for this team. I think the Eagles like him a lot. Remember, they bought out that unrestricted year, which would be next season for Reed Blankenship from the undrafted standpoint. So I think they like the player. They've showed that they like the player. That's why John said they weren't going to go and get Simmons. But I don't think he's a liability. I think he's a solid player, and I think we're going to be all right with him. You know, I think he can play. So Spinbad says Reed can play. Cody K, I would agree with this too. Cody K says Blankenship hasn't reached his ceiling yet. I would agree with that for sure. Chuck Hutton says aware of any practice squad changes by the league this year, depth concerns. Chuck, there is a big change on the practice squad and that veterans can be put on the practice squad. I don't know the exact rule on it, Chuck, but John has talked about that many times where there are players now that you could put on the practice squad that in the past you could not put. So that should help them to be able to move some players over there. But I don't know exactly what the rule is. I will get an update from John on that for you. Isaiah checks in. Xander, I talked to my friend yesterday. He does know your roommate, Ernie. He was so shocked. What a small world. He said Ernie taught him so much. That's funny. Isaiah, I told you, man, my roommate, Ernie, he was the equipment manager down there in Tuscaloosa. So it makes sense, Isaiah. Your friend was probably a couple years younger than us. So Ernie was a little bit older than him. maybe teaching them the game on how to do it down there. But any other chats I'm going to hit on, any other people? Abe says EJ Jenkins can play. I'm with you on EJ, man. EJ's really impressed this camp, and it's going to be tough to see what they do at that tight end. We ran through our 53-man first projection yesterday. You know, three tight ends, you could argue that it's possible they go two if they're afraid other guys won't get through waivers. And even if they go three, John didn't have him keeping EJ. He had Calcaterra and Uzama for the blocking. And I'm like, I don't think they're going to keep CJ Uzama over EJ Jenkins. EJ Jenkins has really showed that he can play. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to end up doing with the tight end position. I do like EJ Jenkins, though. He's a solid player, and we'll see what ends up happening with him. Straight Edge checks in. Straight, what's up, man? Appreciate you being here. I like that truck in the picture. He says, has Patrick Johnson done enough to earn a roster spot? So, Straight, we did our 53-man projection on last night's nightcap edition of Birds 365. We did have John. It was John's 53, but John did have Patrick Johnson on the roster as an edge rusher, as that sixth edge, and probably would play more like the fifth edge if something were to happen. He would get the nod in front of Jalix Hunt. So to me, it looks like he's done enough, Straight. I mean, I think he's been impressive. I think he rebuilt his body. He looks much bigger, faster, and stronger. I think he's a guy that will make the team. In what capacity he plays or is here, I don't know what that would be, but I would project him to make the 53-man roster, but, you know, with the numbers being so tight, it could be close, so we'll see what they end up doing about him. DRK Wing Ducky. Darkwing Ducky, I guess you could say. Why are we talking about Reed? He's been solid since his rookie years. Didn't know he was a question. Yeah, I mean, look, everybody, I think people get into the, you know, when we talk about this team every single day, and even you guys, our loyal listeners who consume content, and you guys talk about them every day too. You know, you write chats about them, and I read them all. So in a way, you talk about the team every day, just like I do. It's easy to go to a guy like Reed because, you know, you're not going to question Gardner Johnson. You're not going to question Darius Slay and the rookie first rounder, Quinyon Mitchell. Linebackers are a question, but you're not going to question Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. Now, you might question how good they are, but you're not going to question like we need to replace them. Reed Blankenship is kind of the one guy where it's like, yeah, if you talk about him every day and you want to nitpick, maybe he could be upgraded. I think he's a solid player. I like Reed Blankenship. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think he's going to be here for the next 2 years, and I think he's going to be your starting safety at the very least for this year. So I'm confident in him. I think he's going to be a good player, and I don't worry as much about him as other people do. But people do have their questions about him, and I think that's fair as well. Quan says, looking forward to Sidney Brown return. He can play safety and nickel if Cooper falls off. I agree. Sidney Brown's going to be a big piece for this team this year. You know, remember, he's injured, so we haven't talked about him much at all in the offseason. I thought he came on pretty strong in his rookie year last year. Remember, he had that big pick six. He's an aggressive, athletic player. He is fully built out, you know, so I think he's going to be a good player for this team. He'll start the year probably on the pup list so they can get him through, you know, and keep another guy on the roster. But when he gets back elevated, I think they're probably going to move somebody to the practice squad. And I think he's going to be a big impact for us this year. And hopefully we'll be a good player in year two. He is coming off a tough injury with the ACL. So we'll see how he returns from it. Everybody kind of handles that differently. But hopefully he can be good this year. Prince checks in. Prince, I love you, brother. I appreciate you being here. And I love that you push back when you don't think things are correct. It's one of my favorite reasons to go to you, Prince, is that you share your opinion wholeheartedly and you chase your truth, which I appreciate. Prince, thanks for being here, man. Prince says, if you watched any game last year, the back four was terrible. That's why. And I think he's talking about Reed Blankenship. Well, Prince, I agree. But, you know, look, the bottom line is, Prince, in that back end of that season last year, everybody looked terrible. QB1 looked terrible. Jalen Carter looked terrible. Darius Slay looked terrible. Everybody looked terrible late in the year last year. So, you know, we've done a lot of talk this offseason of like, oh, who looked bad at the end of last year? it's basically unanimous that every player didn't look that good. So I'm trying not to let that sway me in too much of, you know, because everybody looked so bad late in the year. I think Reed's still a solid player, but it's a fair point. I mean, the back four wasn't good last year, so it's a fair point. It's something we're going to have to monitor. I do think they've upgraded that back four where you have Quinion now, you have C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So how much does that help Reed Blankenship play better? I think that's fair to wonder, but overall, I understand your point for sure. And Madness checks in. He agrees, Prince, with you that, you know, nobody wanted to tackle and he wasn't great at the end of the year last year, but you know, overall, I'm okay with the safety position. I don't think it's going to be a big thing. I think they'll be all right this year. Abe checks in. Xander, I disagree with Sills about this. Big hitters are still liked in this league. Gordon from the Bears made it happen the other game. Yeah, no, I mean, big hitters are still liked. The problem, Abe, is that it's not as much Sills saying that people don't like them. It's that the league is legislating it out of them. So, you know, even the hip drop tackle this year, right? Like, the league is so tailored now to the offensive game. Every rule change is to help offense. Every rule change is in a way to hurt the defense. And, you know, that's why they're not as valued in today's day and age. Like we talk about a guy like Brian Dawkins, you know, one of our most aggressive players, one of our biggest hitters. You know, he would get flagged like crazy in today's day and age. It's not about the player. It's about the legislation of the game more, and I think that's an issue, but I hear what you're saying for sure on that one. Madness checks in. Z, I have a feeling Hurts is going to have his best season, even better than 22. Madness, I agree. I said this yesterday on Cilio's show. I'm not sure if you were in there for that, but you know, I said, look, this is a pro-style offense. The ceiling for Jalen Hurts is now blown open because in 22, you know, you're running the RPO. It was great. Hurts was great, but the league had changed. The league adapted to the style, and now you put Hurts in a more pro-style offense, you know, while also accentuating his skill sets. I think the sky's the limit for Jalen Hurts. I think Kellen Moore is the right guy to call the offense for him, and I think he has a huge year with you. Corey checks in. Xander, what's up, Coach Corey? Appreciate you being here, my man. I know you're always in here. Always good to see you, brother. I hope you're doing well. Hope everything's good on your end. Jimmy Wen, what's up? Jimmy, good morning, brother. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you being here this morning. Philly Don 23, one of our channel members. Thanks for being a channel member, brother. Anybody that wants to be a channel member, we appreciate that. It does go a long way in helping support this channel. So if you're up for it and you want to pay the $5 a month to enter into the Saquon Barkley giveaway and support the channel, the link is pinned in the chat. We appreciate all of our channel members. Morning, everyone. Xander, do you see a lot more corner safety blitzes with Vic's defense? I would say no to that. Philly Don before this week, because if you look at Vic's history, he's had a very consistent history in blitzing. And now this last week of practice, he's been blitzing like crazy, even in the joint practice and the preseason game with the Patriots. So maybe Vic Fangio is changing up his mindset a little bit this year, or, you know, it's something about his personnel. Maybe he likes blitzing with the personnel. Remember, we do have pretty good blitzing linebackers. Devin White's good in the blitz, even Nakobe Dean is good in the blitz. So maybe that's a factor for it. I don't know. You know, it's not like Vic Fangio, but I guess you could argue maybe there's something he does this year that would show that, you know. we'll see what ends up happening there. Isaiah says, we can nitpick the roster all we want. This team and this year will come down to coaching. The NFL now is coaching is really important. No doubt, Isaiah. I mean, I feel good, though. I mean, I know Nick Sirianni, you know, gives people some concern, but I feel good about Vic Fangio and I feel good about Kellen Moore. And that makes me feel good about the coaching for this team. And I think that's going to, you know, play into how successful we are this year. But you are right about the coaching, and I think it's going to be big. So Coach Corey checks in. Xander, I still have anxiety about the linebackers. What am I missing? Everyone seems so excited. Corey, I'm with you. You know, we talked about him all summer, and in the last week it's been a turn because Nakobe Dean has looked better. But if you think about it, Corey, do our linebackers, do they look good just because we're used to shoddy linebacker play in Philly, or do they look good from an NFL overall standpoint where they look like they're viable players in the NFL? You know, Nakobe Dean has had a much better week of camp. Does he look good just in Philly, or would he look good in, you know, a league practice where everybody's out there? I don't know. It's going to be tough to It's going to be tough to gauge before that September 6th. I think we're going to learn real quick how good or bad the linebackers are early in the season, you know, game one, two, and three. I think you're going to get a good idea of the linebackers. So, look, I think you're fair to have, you know, some anxiety about them, Corey. I think it's fair. I don't think they're the best group on the team, but, you know, we'll see what Vic does. I think Vic's going to change up the looks and hopefully put them in a position to be successful. So we'll see what they end up doing. At the end, Madness checks in. At the end, though, I feel good about this team and the coaches, even though we don't do great. I think the Eagles have definitely done everything they can to turn it around. Proud of my team. That's a good point, Madness. You know, I got to be a little bit more objective than that, but they have done a good job. I think Howie's done a good job at, you know, fixing the issues of last year. I think they, you know, I said this on Cilio yesterday. Even if they don't play up to speed earlier in the year, I do think they fixed some foundational leaks that they had last year, right? Like I think bringing in Kellen Moore and switching the offense to a pro style offense is big in helping the predictability of the offense. I think drafting Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean fixes the foundational issue of the revolving door at cornerback. They might not be perfect this year, but my point is that they poured concrete in the cracks in the foundation. Now, we might need some time for it to fill in and be a, you know, be a competent defense, but I think we did fix some of the real foundational problems we had last year. You know, we still have our problems. Every team has their problems. But overall, I do feel good about the team and where we are right now. Sean Mims with the Super Chat. Sean, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for supporting the channel. Sean Mims, a channel member as well, says, this channel helps keep me up while driving. Keep up the good work. See you on Sills later. Sean, appreciate you, brother. One of our best commenters. We appreciate you and for being here. Make sure you hit that like button, brother. And I will catch you later on today. I will be on with Sills as usual in our 3:30 spots. I hope to see you there. Sean, thanks for your support, brother. It doesn't go unnoticed. Chuck Hutton, you're right, Xander. Compared to most teams, our linebackers are mediocre. Trotter is a hope for the future. Chuck, no doubt, I'm very high on Trotter. I think he's going to be a good player. I think he's been more impressive than we expected up to this point. So I'm excited about him. Hopefully he can have a good impact on this team this year, and he can be, you know, a guy that gets up to speed and can be a viable player for years to come. But overall, good stuff, everybody. Day 16 is about to wrap. So after today, I will be live again at 12:30, and then we'll have a nightcap edition of Birds 365 tonight. So I'm going to get out of here now. Appreciate you all being here. Hit that like button. Johnny Mack was with us earlier in the show. If you didn't catch that, John gave us kind of a preview of the day. So I thought that was good stuff. We appreciate all you guys being here. Hit that like button on your way out. I will catch you at 12:30 on our recap show. And then again, 2 to 6, and then 6 to 8 p.m. tonight on Birds 365. Sorry about that. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Hit that like button on your way out. Catch you on, later on Jacob Sports.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.